I was like, these people are like, they've got all the big forces and all the world against them, and they're still holding it down. I was like, what is this thing?
Man, there was this ridiculous video that I saw of this CNN journalist. She was prone, and she was like, oh my God, this thing, we're currently like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
And there's people walking in the back, strolling on bicycles.
They have to try, man. They have to try so hard. They have to try so hard to keep the lie up. You know, but they're being exposed and they're taking the L, man. They're just like gonna look like fools.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the realest podcast in the dunya, the three Muslims. Today, alhamdulillah, it's finally happening. We have with us Imam Tom. Assalamu alaikum, my brother. How you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Doing well. Great to we've been hanging for the week, so it's for been, the week. It's great.
Not our first time meeting, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
And inshallah, not our last either.
Yep, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. All right, for the viewers that are tuning in, what would be a quick revert story in a nutshell?
Oh boy. Okay. So quick revert story in three acts. Okay. Act one, I was a very religious young man. Okay. I got my first Bible. I was given when I was 12 years old. I tried to read it front to back and I never got through it, but I literally like read it until I was falling asleep. I always had this sense that, you know, that we should be working for God. You know what I mean? And actually, I actually developed a little bit of frustration with most Christians just like not doing a whole lot. Just showing up to church on Sundays, singing a few songs, going home, and that was somehow enough. I felt even at that point that it wasn't enough. Act two is when I left Christianity and religion entirely, became an atheist.
Wow.
Okay, and that was for several reasons. Like one of them was actually the pastor. I remember sitting in a sermon where you know, the pastor was basically saying how we have to support Israel, we have to support Israel, and I was like shocked. You know, this was after 9/11, so I had become sort of politicized after 9/11. And I read a lot of history, read a lot of, you know, following current events and stuff like that. And I definitely had a lot of sympathy for Muslim people politically. I felt they were getting oppressed and the wrong end of the deal. And this pastor was like, I went up to the pastor after the sermon. I said, I just don't understand why we support Israel over the Palestinians. And she said, well, that's because they believe in the same God that we do, and Muslims don't. And I was like, that's so dumb. Like, you're wrong. Like, I was like a teenager. Like, I know better than that. This person has a master's in divinity and they don't even know that, right? So that left a bad taste in my mouth. I had a lot of other things that I saw, hypocrisy. And then you start questioning and things don't make sense. Trinity doesn't make sense. The Bible's been changed. It's not, doesn't read like, you know, actual divine revelation. So as a teenager, I left Christianity specifically and religion in general. I became an atheist. Act three was when I got to college. Okay, so I went to college, Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York, a very good school. And I started sort of having different experiences that kind of were destabilizing like what I thought I knew, okay? And part of that was actually a lot of my studies was in political science. So I started out a history major, then I switched to political science, political theory. And what I focused on was European colonialization. Right. And most of that was in the Muslim world, or at least a great portion of that was in the Muslim world. So I studied how it happened, how they justified it, all the dirty, rotten tricks that they pulled and played and everything that they did. So, but even more than that, I started to learn about sort of Muslims' resistance to it. Right. And sort of the ideological component of it. Right. And I was really, really impressed by just how people now, like non-Muslims now, are really inspired by the faith of Palestinians. They're like, how are these, and like people have converted, like actually accepted Islam by like seeing like these people are just being pulled out of the rubble and they're still like praying and they're still thanking God and, you know, like amazing. Like that was me. Like at one point I was like, these people are like, they've got all the big forces in the world against them and they're still holding it down. I was like, what is this thing? Right. And so I started poking around. I had a professor that was a Muslim. I started like doing research and stuff like that. I went abroad to study in Turkey. I was in Istanbul for 6 months, had an amazing experience. People there were so friendly. And then I just started, when I came back, I actually took a class in Islamic studies at the university. It was horrible. It was taught by a professor that was very like anti-Islamic. And I was like basically arguing with her in class and like, you know, defending Muslims. So it was crazy. So then after that, I just started experimenting with prayer and fasting and stuff like that. I was like, let me just try this out. And, it satisfied that thing that I felt even as a kid where I was like, you should have to work for your relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it was like 5 times a day praying makes sense. Like you should have to pray 5 times a day, once a week. What is this? This is a joke. Right? Fasting 30 days a year, that makes sense. And once I started praying and fasting, like I loved it. It was like the coolest thing. So it was just one thing after another. A little bit of a funny thing was I actually fasted an entire Ramadan before I even understood what the Shahada was, and then I had to take the Shahada. So then, like, long story short, someone eventually told me, like, yo, you should probably take the Shahada at this point. So I did, and then it was all just forward from there.
Wow, subhanAllah. Yeah. That's one, beautifully summarized, hit all the important points, and two, that's subhanAllah. Do you have a video? I'm sure you have a video where you spoke about this in depth.
Yeah, actually, towards eternity, when I went to Istanbul recently within the last year, I hooked up with Towards Eternity and those guys in Istanbul. And I think I went the most in depth in my convert story or my revert story there. Amazing. So if anybody wants to see all the nitty gritty details, then you can go to Towards Eternity. Perfect. And see that.
Inshallah. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So you mentioned, which I'm surprised to hear, subhanAllah, that back in the day, that is how you felt about it. So yeah. In light of recent events, what has happened recently, how did you feel when you heard these events on, take place?
Well, this has been the status quo, right? Like, so people, and you look at the sort of this propaganda machine that really, really trying to focus on October 7th, what happened October 7th. Yeah. And one of our biggest interventions is that this does not start on October 7th. Yeah. This has been 75 years, right? This has been, from the inception of the Israeli state, which was unilaterally imposed upon the Palestinian people with, closed door meetings between the groups and America and the United States. You talk about, Sykes-Picot and the Balfour Declaration and all the history. This has been a rotten deal from day one, right? It's fundamentally flawed. It was a mistake. Should have never happened. Yeah. Okay. And that's got nothing to say about living in that land. That's a whole separate issue. People try to conflate the two. Yeah. The state of should have never happened.
Yeah.
Period. Now, where to go from here? Okay, that's a different question. Not a question for this time necessarily. But we are living out the consequences of that rotten deal that should have never happened. Imposition unilaterally on a people without their consent, without their, even say at the table. So everything that's happened since then, the encroachments, the land seizures, the settlers, the dispossession of Palestinian land, the genocide against them, the apartheid state, which is, on the books, it's literally how they run their country. It's in the laws. Right. All of it is a consequence of that original sin. It has an original sin. Right. And so when somebody reacts, okay, we might not agree with how they reacted, but that's neither here nor there. You can't just focus in on how they reacted and say, oh my God, how this is terrible. It's like, no, well, okay, maybe. But the way that the person reacted is because this thing has been going on and on and on. Yeah. And I would challenge anybody, any human being on the face of this earth, to look me in the eye and say, if you were in love, right, and you lived like you didn't, like you lose family members every year, right, from airbikes. You got no food, you got no medicine, you got no electricity, you got very spotty, cell phone service or no cell phone service at all. Like, this was your daily living, situation.
Yeah.
What would that push you to do?
That's right? A great question.
So people need to just be real.
Yeah. And on top of that, there was actually Norman Finkelstein. He mentions that, I think it was you when I reported that, there was actually a point in time when Israel was calculating the bare minimum calories they needed just so they don't starve today. So it's even beyond the unlivable living conditions or attacking them. They can't leave.
Yeah.
They're blockaded in there with the so-called. So something I find interesting is it almost seems to be the case, and this is something I want to ask you about, that whenever you have some crazy Muslim terrorist organization, if you go back throughout recent history, you see some kind of Western colonial state intervention.
Sure.
Is that the case?
No, definitely. I mean, this is the thing. People, they try to escape this fact by basically their Islamophobic arguments. And I use that term begrudgingly because I think there's problems with it. But let's just call it that for the sake of ease for people watching. The Islamophobic sort of assumptions that Islam is an inherently violent religion, that religion in general is inherently violent more than a secular state is, which is a big lie, right? All these sorts of things, like, it's very easy to shoehorn like these groups into that. It's like, oh, here they go again. They always been fighting. Oh, this is them again. Islamic extremism, et cetera, et cetera, which is all just, it's just a bunch of, I can't say it. It's a bunch of BS, I mean? It's like, it comes back to, who wants to wipe who off the face of the map?
Yeah.
Okay. The state of Israel wants to wipe Palestinians off the face.
It's funny because people say the opposite. They say,
all their points, all of their talking points, it's an inversion.
That's
like,
point.
They say that, like the opposite side uses human shields. Say that it uses human shields.
And the settlers international, are actually during one of the operations, a gate something, I forget what it was, a gate led or something like that. Mm. They actually found didn't use any human shields, but they reported Israel did, yeah, to the extent where they would put them in a window with a rifle over their shoulder from behind them.
And even Israelis know this. Citizens, that's why actually many of them are coming out against Netanyahu and against the government and demanding they step down because they feel like they're being used. And they are, you know, like the settlers are being used. I saw, you know, like 300 settlers being, you know, given assault rifles yesterday, right? It's like, it's insane, right? So it's like, who's using human shields? Who's barbaric? Who's targeting children and women? Yeah. Who's like, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, the person who's guilty projects on the other, right? And it's like, you know, you're assuming something of somebody else because you're actually guilty of it yourself. And, you know, even if, okay, like even if some of the claims were true, which if they are, we reject them. We don't believe everything that comes out of their mouths because they're liars. Mm-hmm. But if it were true, of course, that's not a sign. We reject that. Yeah. But given the position that each of them are in, you've got one side with like the most desperate situation that you could think of, and then the other side with the most comfortable situation that you could think of, with the backing and complete political and military cover of the United States of America, which is a mistake for U.S. foreign policy, which one is less justified? The one with everything going for him, right? It's like, if you do something wrong out of desperation, I at least can sympathize with your despair. Yeah. I can at least sympathize with your desperation, even if I disagree. But if you've got it easy, if you've got $13.1 million a day of U.S. tax money, which the U.S gives, four times more than it does for the SNAP program, right? If you've got complete political cover, any sort of U.N. resolution for the Security Council is going to be vetoed by the United States against, you know, you've got complete media coverage. CNN literally has Israeli military personnel as spokespeople on their channel, and they're just taking the IDF's sort of a version of things and putting it up like it's fact. You've got all that, and you're still using human shields, and you're still killing babies and women.
Yeah.
That's cowardice. That's evil.
Yeah.
Let's just say it how it is.
Absolutely.
And there needs to be consequences, whether it's from the UN and the quote unquote international community, whether it's from here, from there. You can't let that happen. The world is blamed. The world is blameworthy at this point.
Yeah. Do you think this time the extent that they've taken it is actually just backfiring and it's reviewing?
Yeah, I do. I think that they overplayed their hand. I don't think that they expected this type of backlash. I was actually reflecting with a brother the other day because, you know, we were talking about the big issue for Muslims before the escalation was the LGBTQ issue. And we saw how a similar thing happened when it came to the institutional capture that the trans lobby, you know, actually was able to achieve with, you know, the American Psychiatric Association and like the different sort of, you know, schools and politics and stuff like that. But they overplayed their hand, right? They're now like, for elementary school kids, and people are like, this is ridiculous. We've had enough. And so then they started to experience blowback. The same exact thing is happening now with Israel overplayed their hand. Like they thought that they could do whatever they wanted. And they actually, you know, like some of these, again, these military personnel get on a camera and say their intentions, their title attentions. Like it's there. We're like, they're saying that they're going to go after civilians. They say that they're going to whatever. So it's like they've definitely overplayed their hand. And this is the opportunity that we have to finally expose and reveal. And we've had the most means, you know, us and Mohammed Hijab have been talking all this week about we're in the best position we've ever been in. The you know, the state has never been weaker, you know, I don't think. And our case has never been stronger, right? And so this is really a huge opportunity that we've got to hit full force. We've got to let everybody know, reveal the truth, share, you know, repost, like whatever we can do so that the most amount of people can possibly see what's actually going on, can change, and hopefully we can achieve as much change as we can.
Inshallah. And I think it's also important to highlight why it's different now. Back in the day, social media was not as you know, proficient and out there as it is nowadays. And people trusted other individuals a lot less. Now that there's been a shift with even people like Donald Trump saying, you know, Fox News, CNN, fake news, fake.
Yeah.
You know, big politicians who a lot of people look up to are saying this is fake news. A lot of people are looking literally to TikTok creators for news, taking them as objective sources like they used to take the news channels. And on top of that, seeing what's happening on the floor and seeing the members saying what they're saying, websites like Breaking the Silence that have members talking about the crimes they committed and talking about why they're breaking their silence. These things are huge. Having Mohammed Hijab on Piers Morgan recently, that was huge. Yep. So it's because of our voices, like you mentioned, because the content that people make. And if we keep going, inshallah, we could really see in 20, 50 years, a huge shift for the Muslims.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
There's this video that went viral. You know how we hear these things about babies being, you know, deleted and grandmas, and it almost sounds fictional, bro. It's like that It's like everyone agrees that's wrong. Yeah, right, there's proof. And then this video of this grandma that was released.
Yeah.
Mumas, it went viral. What were your thoughts on that?
Oh, it was hilarious, man, because it breaks all the narratives. You know, the IDF was like really scrambling to try to spin it some way. And I actually saw some of the headlines and how they tried to spin it.
Yeah.
But she's about to be released. And then she tries to shake the guy's hand and he's kind of like surprised.
Yeah.
You know, and she thanks him. She said that she was treated well and all this stuff. Which is honestly just beautiful. You know, it's like, as people have said before, the Israeli government's trying to tell us what's true. Palestinians are showing us what's true. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's your narratives, time's running out. Yeah. Time's running out. People are going to figure it out. You know, mm-hmm. people aren't so stupid that they're going to be fooled forever. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like these big, bad barbarians, you know, supposedly, who some countries do not designate as terrorist organizations. Right? We have to be real with that too, because some people go, oh, these are terrorists. It's like, okay, what's the definition of terrorist? You know, I'll be frank with you. The government's a terrorist organization. Like, just because the United States doesn't list it as one, the United States could be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been wrong about other things before, so it wouldn't be a surprise. Right. I mean, these things are amazing. And it's also good to see, because even as Muslims, like, we fear that some of the things that they're saying might be true. You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. because we know what Islam says. We know that Islam says you have to treat prisoners right. You can't kill civilians. You can't kill, like, non-combatants. You have to, like, whatever. We have rules. And so if someone comes to us and they're like, oh, this is what you guys are doing. This is what you guys are doing, right? We're getting pushed to condemn something, and these people are liars in the first place, so we don't know whether to trust them or not. But we also, in the back of our mind, are like, man, I really hope they're not doing it. I really hope they're not doing that. You know what I mean? Because that, like it or not, they've been using them as an excuse, as a pretext to slaughter all cousins and parents anyway. You know, so it actually gives us relief to know that, alhamdulillah, they're not doing that. Alhamdulillah, they're actually like following Islam. You know, at least in some, and they might have other things that they're doing that we can criticize or whatever. But the bigger point is that this is fog of war. You know what I mean? It's like, and there is definitely, you can't trust everything that you hear in the media and everything that people say. And it's a very important time to be critical.
100%. And that wasn't the only report, by the way, of someone, one of the, you know, people, the captives saying, oh, they were nice to me.
Yeah.
They were hospitable. They asked me to eat a banana off my counter. Like all these crazy things. There have been at least 3 to 4, the person that I know of, which for the media game is huge.
Yeah, it
because
is.
This is the stuff they want to keep down.
And here's the thing, like if they actually had like people that were standing up, that they were doing the things that they said that they were doing, it would be nonstop coverage.
Yeah.
If people like from movements within Gaza or whatever were saying the things that the IDF personnel are saying on camera, that would be plastered 24/7. You wouldn't see anything else except that. So what does it say that they're having to grasp at straws and be like, oh, they killed their own people and they bombed their own hospital? Okay, no, they didn't. You know, they're really trying so hard to form this narrative that these people are just bloodthirsty and they hate, and they're the reason why we have to go in. They're the reason why. It's like, and the narrative's falling apart.
Absolutely, 100%. Especially because like their arguments nowadays, when we have people online speaking about their arguments can be flipped back on them.
Yeah.
Like what they're doing is in retaliation to what they just did. Yeah. Well, what they did was in retaliation to what they've been doing for the last 2 decades.
Take any sentence that they try to pull with that and just switch out the names, and they wouldn't accept it.
100%.
Which shows you that you're just a racist at the end of the day.
Yeah. You know, one ayah of the Quran that I love is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the truth has come,
and
falsehood had vanished. Because falsehood is about to vanish. Exactly.
Yeah.
And what that tells me in the last few minutes that we have is that when the truth comes, it's not possible to really believe a lie. All that's left is just to reject the truth. So now when people see and hear what the IDF is doing and what they're saying, they see and hear what the Palestinians are doing and saying, they see and hear the captives who are really what they purport about these so-called, you can't actually believe this previously believed narrative anymore.
Yeah.
Now, it's either you accept the truth or you reject it and just keep sticking. Like Ben Shapiro, he knows the truth for sure.
Yeah,
but he's going to keep sticking with these talking points, unfortunately.
And look at who these captives blame when they go back to their homes. They blame Israel.
Yeah, I remember. I don't know how authoritative this is, but I saw 4 out of 5 Israelis actually blame Netanyahu and his government. Yeah. And they were on the like brink of a civil war in the last few months. Yeah. I don't want to keep going because we have 2 minutes left.
So any final question or final?
Man, there was this ridiculous video that I saw of this CNN journalist. She was prone, right? And she was like, oh my God, this thing we're currently like,
oh yeah.
And there's people walking in the back, strolling or on bicycles.
They have to try, man. They have to try so hard. They have to try so hard to keep the lie up.
Yeah.
You know, but they're being exposed and they're taking the L, man. They're just like going to look like fools. You know what I mean? All they have to do is play on people's prejudices, and that's all they've been doing. But the truth will shine through. And so every single one of us has a duty. This is actually the khutbah I gave last Friday. It's about, you know, being, and I use that ayah that you brought up, that every single one of us has the duty to show the truth. Mm-hmm. And people don't get it twisted. You know, unfortunately, they're going to make it seem like, question our loyalty and make us seem like a fifth column and like whatever, that we're sympathizing with this or that. No, no, no. If we didn't care about y'all, we would let you be with your lies. Mm. We want you to see the truth. We consider it a duty to you to show you the truth and to bring you out of this stupidity that you've, delusion, let's call it delusion. The delusion that you've, that's been covering your eyes for so long. We care about you enough to try to bring you out of that.
So given the blockades right now, in under 60 seconds, what do you think you would recommend Muslims to do right now that we can all do at home?
The most immediate thing is to push for a ceasefire, immediate ceasefire, no conditions, no whatever. So that has to do with keep up the social media, the information, everything that you're sharing, you know, break those narratives. There's been a lot of really good work in trying to reshape the language through which we actually talk about these things, because that's part of how they win it too. You go on to CNN, what do they call it? That's not true, right? Like, this is a war from Israel versus the Palestinian people, right? And so little things like that, not letting people set the, like Mohammed Hijab did on Piers Morgan, not letting them set the tone. I've said on Twitter, I don't think that anybody should issue condemnations anymore. Not until they start condemning things. Like, I refuse to condemn anything that I clearly don't have anything to do with until you condemn stuff. Do you condemn, you know, apartheid? Do you condemn a racist state? Do you condemn bombing children? And do you condemn white phosphorus? And I was on a talk show locally. The dude couldn't even deny or denounce chemical. And you want to make me look like I'm some savage. You're the savage. You know what I mean? So we got to, like, Muhammad Jab's 100% right. We ask the questions now. It's like that meme, right? It's like, we ask the questions now. You guys don't ask the questions. We're going to ask the questions now.
Absolutely. I think that's a beautiful and powerful note to end on. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us. Habibi. May Allah bless you. Amin. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for facilitating this for us. And thank you so much for joining us. Thank you guys for tuning in. Share it with your loved ones, your family, your friends, and people who need it. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana. وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. We'll see you on the next one. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you so much.